Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Against the Dark. Against the Dark is a 2009 American action horror film directed by Richard Crudo and starring Steven Seagal. It follows Katana Master Teo, who leads a special ops squad of ex-military vigilantes on a massacre mission. Their target? Vampires. Teo is the survivor's only hope, and he knows the only cure is execution. So, we are joined today by our ex-friend, because he made us watch this movie. It's Adam Cardamale.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm so glad. If I have to go, this is how I want to.
Adam, first question, why?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. I love, unabashedly, I love a Steven Seagal movie. Something that Tom has commented on several times that I think is so true. And so, it's just like my core tenet. If you look at my Letterboxd history, any Steven Seagal movie I've ever reviewed, it will be like in the review, I will give it such a glowing, beautiful review. I'll end it with like, I'm a must watch. I need someone else to discuss this movie with, and I will give it half a star.
Look, when we lived together, we went through a period during one of the lockdowns where we watched Under Siege 1 and 2 back to back, and it changed my life.
Yeah.
Watching a man who cannot act or do his own stunts be adamant that he must do both.
Increasingly shot only in darkness and from the brow down and the nipple up, because heaven forbid people find out he is slightly overweight or fucking balding.
Right.
Is that why you love him, Adam? is that why you love his movies?
I love his movies because I adore... genuinely adore the amount of narcissism it takes to be Steven Seagal. It must be exhausting.
Yeah. It could power a city.
It's fucked. Like, he is genuinely the most... Look, before we get into the film, I want to share my favorite Steven Seagal story, which is a story that Adam has shared with me, and I read about heaps.
God bless.
I feel like the chat about this film will take about 3 minutes, so we need to fill it with Steven Seagal moments.
That's how long it took to write the screenplay.
That's how long it took for a computer to write the screenplay, because let's be real, honestly, in my review I said this, watching this movie, it generally feels like they did that thing where they showed a computer every zombie horror movie ever, and then it produced a script. That's the only explanation I have for how this movie is put together. Damo, you said that it centers on Tao. It doesn't.
It doesn't,
For the first, hour of the film, he's just walking.
The most incredible part about that is, so it's an hour and a half movie. He is on screen for 24 minutes, and apparently most of that is his stunt double.
Yep.
Fucking hell.
It's just, he's top billed. You don't learn his name until 45 minutes to an hour into the movie, and when he says it, a guitar riff kicks in.
Yes, that riff. Thank you.
Who are you? My name's Tao.
There was a moment I made a note watching this. I'm like, oh, I forgot Steven Seagal was in this movie for a bit, because we don't see him for so long.
No.
And there's anyway, look, I'm going to go back a bit and now tell the story about Steven Seagal, and then we'll get stuck into the film. My favorite story about Steven Seagal is apparently he has this theory that because he is so good at whatever he does, that he has the willpower and brain power to not be choked out. So he thinks that because he is such a good martial artist that if you choke him out through sheer willpower, he will not fall unconscious.
Oh, wow.
He was on the set of a film, said this, and this guy was like, I reckon that's impossible. And he bet him $500 or something of that nature that he couldn't be choked out.
Yeah.
So whatever, that happened. Nothing more came out of that story. That was like, whatever happened, no one else spoke about it. The movie was finished. The stunt coordinator who had choked had made this bet with him.
Yep.
No one knows the outcome. Several years later, this stunt coordinator becomes Ronda Rousey's fighting coach for UFC. And Steven Seagal's movies were famous for he was just a fuckhead about stunts. Like, he would just do different things. People would get hurt because he was a dick, because he was so egotistical. And this stunt coordinator kind of spoke out about him in an interview. So Seagal hit back and, like, bad-mouthed him and said he's a terrible stunt coordinator. And the reason all these people got injured on movies that we worked on together is because he's irresponsible and shit.
Mm.
And Ronda Rousey was like, mate, I wouldn't be talking too much shit unless you want me to tell people the time that he won $500 off you and made you shit your pants.
Oh, shit.
Steven Seagal literally shit his pants with this guy.
The story is that this guy choked him out, and in resisting the choke out, Steven Seagal shit himself.
Oh, my God, I love that so much.
Have I got that right, Adam?
Yeah, I think the exact quote is, if he doesn't shut up, I will make him shit himself a second time.
That's so fucking good.
That story, I like, he apparently broke Sean Connery's arm once.
Okay.
Because Steven Seagal used to be a stunt coordinator and was also apparently a bad stunt coordinator. And I forget which one of the James Bond movies, but he was stunt coordinator on one of the Bond movies. And he was showing Sean Connery something and broke his arm doing it.
Fuck.
Can I ask, Adam, with Seagal, like, I've never really been into his movies or anything.
Sure.
What's like... At one point, he was like actually a box office sort of draw, wasn't he? Like,
what are
the films? What are his iconic roles?
Under Siege.
Yeah, Under Siege is like the really iconic one. He's had a few other like massive ones. Things like, I think they were all mostly in the early 90s. Things like Out for Justice. One of his biggest ones actually is big because people were like, whoa. Executive Decision, I think it's called, where it's the only movie where he dies. He dies, and he goes out really well as well. It's like one. It is, if he had died in any other movie, this would still be like his best death scene. He's got Kurt Russell, who's like this tech guy or whatever. They're both supposed to like secretly go from one plane to another through this tube, but the things are kind of like getting fuckled, and the tube's gonna break, and everyone's gonna die. And Kurt Russell, who's in the other plane, looking down at Steven Seagal, is like, we're going to die, we're going to die. And then Steven Seagal says, no, you're going to survive. And then he closes the hatch, the thing breaks, and you have this great shot of Steven Seagal tumbling out of the second airplane and striking the rear wings on the plane.
Wow.
It's so fucking good. A great movie, and one of the funniest scenes that Steven Seagal has ever produced.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, but I believe... So let's just talk about his character in this movie. He sounds really weird. He sounds kind of southern, because if I'm not mistaken, I believe during this period of time, or just at the end of this period of time, Steven Seagal was telling people that he was Cajun and speaking with a Cajun accent.
God.
He isn't. He's not. But for like several years, he did.
Every Steven Seagal movie is Steven Seagal trying to appropriate a different culture. It is crazy how often he does it. It is insane.
He's a black guy in a movie.
He
doesn't blackface, but he's just playing a black guy.
Absolutely. He does African-American, Italian, Japanese. Japanese is a common one for him.
Oh, that's so bad.
So many different ones. And every single time, it's so funny. If you can find a single Steven Seagal character who is not currently Special Forces or used to be Special, they're all Special Forces. It's so stupid.
They're all ex-Special Forces in this, the vampire hunters, right?
Yeah, they are.
One of them's The Rock's cousin.
Oh.
Yeah, you can tell.
And stunt double.
Yeah, yeah. So he's done. He's been in most of The Rock's movies. I think, is his name Tanao Reed, I think his name is?
Yeah.
Yeah, T. Reed. Yeah.
Can I mention why I know his name in this film? It's because there are three occasions in this movie where Steven Seagal's character tells Taggart, do a clean sweep of this area and report back. And instead of saying this line three times, it sounds like they dubbed the line in from one recording. Right. And it only makes sense in one scene. There is a scene where they're walking along. He says it just to no one. You don't see anyone's mouth move. You hear that dialogue. And then in another scene, he sends him into a different... Like, it's like, aren't you a team? What the fuck?
This movie.
Do you guys recall the first bit that Seagal's in this movie where he's slicing up some zombies, I guess?
They're not zombies. They're not zombies.
Yeah, zombie vampires. Yeah. Is he moonwalking? He seems to be gliding along the floor.
I'll have to watch that again. I don't know.
It felt powerful. Yeah. So, Adam, you would know all the behind the scenes stuff, but is it true that it was a zombie movie, but Seagal got involved and said, I hate zombies?
Yeah.
And just like kept saying it.
Yeah. Steven hates zombies.
They had to insert so many scenes where they describe them. They're like, they're not zombies, they're vampires. Or they're not zombies, they're mutants. All of those were filmed after Seagal got tied to the project.
Yeah, fucking hell, man. Also, Keith David's in this, which surprised me.
Incredible.
And I looked him up because he's been, like, you've seen him in everything.
Yeah.
But then literally you have... He has the most IMDb credits of any actor I've ever come across. Wow. He has 336 credits.
Jesus. I thought you were just about to like list out like, he is the most prolific IMDb actor.
Well, he could
ever.
He might be.
He could be. Well, yeah.
I think Seagal has like 80 credits in comparison. And I looked and like Keith David, he's getting old now. He's still working heaps. Like he's punching out like 13 projects a year right now.
He does a lot of voice work as well these days.
Yeah, voice work is included in that. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of it's probably small roles and stuff, but he's working heaps.
Yeah, he's great.
Crazy.
Good for him.
Again, Adam, Army.
Bit of Army in there, yeah.
Army, of course. Well, like I said, though, Steven Seagal's character is always ex-Special Forces. So there's no Steven Seagal movie that isn't Army somehow.
just to pull back a little bit from the black hole that is Steven Seagal's life and body of work and body, there are so many issues with this movie that aren't even Steven Seagal.
That
hospital is A, the largest hospital I've ever seen in my life.
Mm.
B, there is this thing that's like, we've got to get out of the hospital. And I'm watching it like, wait a minute. Why don't you just go back the way you came to get into the hospital?
Were it so simple, Tom. Were it so simple.
How did they get into the hospital?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Morgan and Amelia. I'm talking about that group of four of stoner guy, kid, girl who goes evil, and Martin? I can't remember. I can't remember any of the names.
Can I issue a try to remember every character's name without looking at the Wikipedia article challenge?
Couldn't do it.
Okay, I
couldn't tell you anyone.
I'll give you one.
Charlie is the little girl.
And
Morgan is the other guy because you hear their names more than anyone else's, including...
There's no Charlie in the movie. There's a Charlotte.
Oh, they call her... Okay, her name's Charlotte, but I'm pretty sure she gets called Charlie at some point.
Okay, all right.
Is the drug guy called Ricky?
Yes. Tom, damn, dude.
You loved this movie.
I watched this movie about 4 hours ago.
Also, I noticed a issue with so I went to I love reading the Wikipedia article or anything for a Steven Seagal movie. I consume so much behind the scenes content because you get that incredible scenes like the Ronda Rousey bit. Reading through the IMDb, it was so funny because I was like, it is rare for me to be able to correct the internet, but they list a goof in the IMDb where they're like, the Keith David's character gets referred to as the colonel when he's a lieutenant. And I was like, actually, he's a lieutenant colonel. So it's that is not a goof. I should change the Wikipedia page. I will. Right here.
Another thing on the hospital I wanted to mention. So this movie's basically one location. It's the hospital.
Yeah.
The amount of establishing shots we get for the hospital is like, there's a drinking game where you have to do a shot every time we see the establishing shot of the hospital, and you would be plastered.
They go from scene in the hospital to scene in the hospital with an establishing shot in between. What are you doing?
It is also very clear that they don't have that many rooms
to
film in.
100%.
So they just redo. Like, they're in the same bathroom like 8 times, and sometimes it's a bathroom, and sometimes it's a hallway. Mm. Like, the whole thing just looks like shit, too. Looking at those hospital rooms, I wanted to kill myself. Yeah.
I briefly, you know the guy he meets in the bathroom? I briefly thought that might be Tommy Wiseau.
Yes.
Wiseau,
yes.
Whatever his name is. Because that guy's level of acting in a movie that has poor acting was terrible.
Yeah.
What's his thing again? Just, what's his...
That guy.
His thing? Is he making vampires?
What's... Mate, I'm going to be honest. I didn't pay attention to nearly any of this movie.
Oh, God.
3 minutes into it, I was already scrolling on my phone. I just... I think it's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I think it is too.
Steven Seagal has like an awful line when he blasts that guy away with a shotgun.
No, can I tell you what the line is? It is.
Yeah, please.
So he walks in, right? So this surgeon's got about to kill nameless dude.
Mm.
Seagal just walks in, just like he's turning up to a dinner party, and the guy just like turns around, and he doesn't like move quickly. He just kind of stands there, doesn't say anything. The guy goes, "Who the fuck are you? And what are you doing?" And he says, "I'm the motherfucker that's going to do to you what you've done to others," and then shoots him in the chest with a shotgun. At no point has he established who this man is. No. He hasn't learned any information. He wasn't in the room when the guy was explaining, "I'm going to feed you to my daughter. I'm making vamp." Like, he just shoots this guy.
Yeah.
And, like, for all he knows, he walks in. That guy is tied up. That guy could be infected. Mm. You know, this guy's a doctor. We're in a hospital. But he walks in and just is on the presumption, "No, I'm going to do to you what you do to other people, and I assume that what you do is bad."
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like he says a line early, the first line of the, for the first 5-10 minutes, I was laughing a lot because I was like, "This is so bad, it's funny," and then it wears thin. It made me laugh so hard.
It's
so hard.
So stupid. I know there's like a whole section where we're like, do we think the characters acted cleverly or whatever? And I don't want to drop the gun too much, but the villains, the like monsters in this piece have the stupidest fucking setups, and I love every single one of them.
Hey, they can talk.
Yeah.
Also,
what point of the movie?
Maybe with 20 minutes to go.
Yeah.
They wait too long to hit you with that. When they're establishing it, I'm like, all right, cool. They're not calling them zombies, but they're zombies. They're zombies. I understand zombies. And then, what is it? I'm allergic to Mondays or whatever. When I'm allergic to Mondays happens, I'm like, nope, I do not understand. I don't know what's happening.
Here's the thing. So there's that, but there's also like just before that, there's a line where he's killed a bunch of them.
Mm.
No one asks him a question, right? No one said anything.
Yep.
And it's like he's answering a question and he says, "We don't get to decide who's wrong or right. We decide who lives or dies."
Yep.
And it's like, wait a minute.
What?
When have you been presented with that choice?
Exactly.
Like, they were going to eat a kid.
Yeah. I made a note of that too. I'm like, it makes no sense. And it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He just says
no one's asked him anything.
He doesn't like turn away. We probably get the guitar riff again. Fuck, I don't know.
Also, what's the deal with all the characters just embracing the whole, "Oh no, we're the monsters now"? Why?
Yeah,
how do you embrace that?
Yeah. Do you know what the term monster means?
It's they
not
don't.
Like we're the minority, which is obviously what this movie thinks. It's like, no, a monster is something that is causing harm to others.
It's rare, guys. It's rare to watch a movie where you know 100% that every scene is the first take. They did one take and they moved on.
Yeah.
And that's Steven Seagal energy, I think.
I think
the director was probably like, "Hey, Steven, can we get that?" No, we're good. Okay.
No, nope.
We got
big
it.
Big SS energy. Yeah. All right.
He's already gone.
That is bold of you to assume he was on set every day.
Oh, no way. I reckon he was there for one day.
Like,
if that.
Yeah. Half a day. Like, the amount of scenes where you're like, they're clearly talking at him. We cut to a shot of him talking at them, and then we cut back to them sort of nodding really emphatically because they're not talking to each other.
Yep.
It genuinely makes it so confusing sometimes because they're that group of the fucking hunters or whatever are going around collecting all of the survivors. Mm. But because they obviously can't have any shots with the survivors and Seagal,
yeah.
they keep doing shots of them separately. And several times I was like, did they split up again? I don't understand. yeah. Well, did these hunters come along, save your life, and then they're like, all right, we've got to keep moving. Catch. You go do whatever you're yeah. doing. Yeah.
It honestly wouldn't shock me if this film was already in production when Seagal agreed right. to do so it. No.
I think genuinely, I am not kidding, when I think he was on screen for about 24 minutes, I think that is how much time he spent on set.
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe give or take a couple minutes for like getting dressed.
Yep.
Yeah. No, he turned up to set just in those clothes.
That's his own wardrobe. He demanded his own wardrobe.
Seeing him meeting like heads of state, like the Russian or Ukrainian heads of state, how he dresses there. Tom, you might be fucking right.
If anything, this is him toning it down a bit.
Yeah. I reckon that's his own sword as well. And in fact, I think he may have actually killed people.
That's what he's saying. The director is actually yelling at him and being like, why are you killing people? And that's why he says, we don't decide who's wrong or right.
You know what made me laugh too watching this? I reached a point in it where I was like, it just amused me so much that I'm like, The Rock has probably watched this movie to support his cousin, right?
Yeah.
Or at least he's told his cousin that he's watched it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. On the cousin is actually the hero. Like, the cousin kills more vampires than Seagal does. Like, constantly.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's sent in to do, hey, Taggart, do a sweep, because we hear that line three or four times. It's so weird. And every time you think Taggart's going to die and he doesn't,
yeah.
Like, there's that scene where he goes into a corridor, one of the many, many corridors in this hospital, and he's in a corridor and he fights some guys, and then he runs into another room, runs into a big guy, and is just like, what the fuck? And then fights him and kills him. And it's just like, that has no connection to anything else that's happening. Like, there are times where it's like the survivors talk about how it's about working together, and then the first chance they split up, they just fuck off.
It's so much worse than that, because when the two groups of survivors first meet up, they have that scene where they're like, all right, we'll stay together, but we don't trust you. And they're like, well, we don't really trust you. Mm. And then that never gets addressed. That plot point is picked up and put down and never spoken about.
Yeah.
Well, the only people that survive are one of the people from one of the groups and two of the people from the other group. The character who you feel like for a bit of the movie is going to be like the hero of the groups, I must have blinked, turns into a vampire and gets shot.
Yeah.
It was very quick. Yeah. It was just like one bite, and then she's like, go on without me. And then she shows up later, like 5 minutes later, she shows up as a zombie. And I was like, you did? What was your plan? You clearly didn't kill yourself or something. Why were you like, go on without me? I'll catch up.
I love it too when they're leaving and they shut the roller door and it closes so slowly, and that the horde runs to it. And when they reach the door, there's a big gap still.
Right.
But they can't, it's like they don't know how to bend down and crawl through. So they just kind of like scratch on the door.
Yeah.
It's so shit. It's madness. It's honestly.
All right. I've got a question for Tom specifically, because Tom is the fucking master of remembering characters in a movie. So going back to the I'm allergic to Mondays or that fucking, so we have like a shot, an establishing shot of one of the zombie vampire mutant creatures. Mm. She's filing her teeth.
Oh, yeah.
She's like getting ready for the day. She's bleeding out a person, puts the mug to get her morning joe or whatever. Do we ever see that character again?
Yes.
Oh. Do we?
But not. So when she was introduced, I'm like, right, she's going to be the one they have to kill to
get
out
of the final
hospital.
Fight. Yeah.
No. She gets killed by Taggart when he gets into the hospital at the start. You know, he goes into that room and that girl's crying on the floor.
What? I was also going to talk. That's going to come up in my what the fuck are they doing segment of this.
That's her. She's not even, she's killed like straight away. That's it.
Fuck.
They set her up like she's this big terrifying thing that's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And you just never, like she shows up and dies.
That's wild.
Let's just get to did they act wisely, because none of us were scared.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. Skipping over that. All right, did they act wisely or foolishly? No, they didn't.
No. No. They split up at a moment's notice. They hear a noise in the distance and they're like, all right, you go that way, we'll go this way.
Yeah. At one point, two of them get out and kind of like lock the door and lock everybody in. There's never like a confrontation about that though, is there?
Yeah.
Like it's just like,
no, because there's another door.
Yeah.
He says, so, oh, like, no, they're going to go out the other door. And I'm like, we walked into that room together. There was only one way in.
But also, like, the two people that they didn't know, like, they should have known that the other group basically abandoned them, which they did, because they're like, they were still in there too late. And then later, they're just happy days. Like, there's no conflict that arises.
And none of them know the layout of this hospital, right? Because there's definitely at least
one of them works there.
Okay.
Amelia used to work
there. Oh, is she the one that says, I know a shortcut?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't pick up that she'd worked there. I was just like, how do you, why do you know a shortcut? What the fuck?
How did they both get in, though?
I don't know.
Like, they've been there for a few days in one room. The other guys walked in from somewhere. Why don't you go back out the way you came? Mm.
While we're pointing out inconsistencies, let me ask you this. Like, the setup for this movie is, this is an apocalyptic world where vampires that are clearly zombies have sort of taken over everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is the army so fixated on blowing up this one hospital?
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Great question. Like, why does one hospital count as all of Sector 7? How many sectors must there fucking be if a hospital is Sector 7?
Yeah, like, also, they drop a lot of bombs at the end, right?
Oh, yeah.
And those bombs get dropped, I would say, 15 seconds after they get out of that building.
Yeah.
There's no way
Steven Seagal moonwalked his way out of the bomb's path. It's not possible.
He didn't need to. He could just swing his katana around and the fire would, like, fuck off.
Also, you can tell that this, they have no intention of honoring the fact that these are vampires
because
sunlight never becomes a thing at any point.
No,
it is light outside when they escape, and the vampire mutant things are still like, we need to get out to get at them.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, and then another thing that I was going to ask about, like, so originally the sort of MacGuffin is they've got to get some antibiotics for the kid or whatever.
Yeah, remember that?
Does that ever play out?
No.
Like, I honestly can't remember.
Yeah.
Tom.
No, they do.
Tom,
they
get, what the fuck?
They do.
This is your favorite movie.
Scene. So, okay. after Ricky gets attacked.
Who's Ricky?
They go into a room. And you assume he's turning into a vampire, but no, he's just really high.
I forgot about that.
So they go into a medical cabinet. He comes out. He's like, I got some bandages. And then he's like, and there's some penicillin for the kid. And they're like, now we need to get to the next level. And then they have that scene, it's either just after that. So after they do the penicillin, they go to the cafeteria and get all that food.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, hang on a minute. Earlier you were telling us the reason you're leaving is because there's no food left in the hospital.
Are you trying to say that you found an inconsistency?
Just the one.
Impossible.
It 100% feels like there was no second draft. No one went through.
There wasn't even a script.
Yeah, so Gal just came on and just said whatever line popped into his head, which is why we've got such gems.
It reminds me of, I don't know if you ever watched a series called Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Yes!
Oh. Yes. But
at the beginning of every one of those episodes, I think there's like something, some little line that says, based on tunes whistled by Garth Marenghi.
Based on melodies whistled by Garth Marenghi.
Yes, yeah, that's it.
Fuck, this is the same hospital as that hospital.
Yes, it's the same one. So, things that don't make sense. So every single ambush that the creatures create, think about that ambush. So one of them is that girl that we see at the beginning, kind of like crying in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And then some guy dressed in a hospital gown. Scrubs or whatever, like a doctor's scrubs, standing near a door so that his head is perfectly framed by a window, grabbable through. How long are they standing there waiting for someone to come along? And what is their plan when someone does?
Yes.
Right. It, who's that trap for?
I don't know.
And like, that's the thing. Like, they even give the idea that like, oh, some of us have evolved and we're super smart vampire zombies. You're not that smart. You're pretty fucking dumb. Like, what's the plan here? And they've got like so many people in this hospital just wandering around. It's open dinner and none of them do anything. None of them have any success.
Yeah. Also, they're really easy to like fight. You just like push them.
Yeah.
Their center of gravity's dog shit. They fall over. The amount of times that they get like swarmed and they're just able to push them away and leave.
Mm. To jump back to just to the quickly skipped over, were we scared? So like... One, I don't care at all for any of the characters, so there's zero chance of being scared.
No.
But also, like, they're, like, so not scary that they have to intercut scenes of them, like, chewing on fucking rubber or whatever it was they were actually chewing on.
Right, what the fuck is every time they, like, ambush someone, you get, like, flashes of hundreds of them and blood, and then it's like...
It's like they realized, oh, we're not actually showing anything. I guess we'll just fucking cut it in. Like, it's the laziest filmmaking ever. Like, it's just... Oh, I hate it. I was so angry.
That's really bold of you to call it filmmaking.
It's rich to call it a film. I literally was like, after maybe 3 minutes, I'm like, oh, I don't have a drink. This is a bad idea. I need a drink for this movie. And not like, I think, Sean, you might have said in our chat, like, this movie would have done better with beers and the boys. Like,
it's a
movie that deserved... All the four of us together watching this. Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't because, hey, there's a fucking pandemic. But that's what it needed because otherwise it was like, oh, this is a trudge to get through.
Yeah, I think drinking and Adam's laughter would have filled my heart with joy. I would have still given this movie half a star.
I might have blown all three of your ears out at that moment where the girl who was on her own is like, a great time to sleep. Here in this corridor, I've not locked myself in anywhere. I'm just going to lie down here. I'm going to pull a blanket over me. I'm going to have a little nap.
Hey, but no, she makes the right call because she's then attacked by the slowest vampire in the world. I thought it was her dad. Like, I thought it was implied that it was someone who knew her.
It did seem, there did seem to be some sort of bond where the zombie was like, oh, a beautiful sleeping child. Yes,
yeah. He really sort of like took his time. And then even when Seagal pops in, like this, maybe Adam, you can tell me this.
Mm.
The slow-mo, is it there just to disguise how slow Seagal actually is?
Yeah. If you want a fun afternoon, just Google Steven Seagal. Aikido is the martial art that he knows. Steven Seagal Aikido tournament. It is very funny to watch actual Aikido martial artists be paid to let Steven Seagal throw them around.
Yeah.
So this is why we needed to watch it together, so that we could have had something to elite. Like, we would have been watching that on our phones while this movie was playing, and we wouldn't have missed anything.
I don't know, boys. You've missed a lot of key details.
Literally, I was watching this. Like, as I was watching this with my wife, Holly, I said to her, if you want to look at your phone while we're watching this, that's fine.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it if you need to.
No, I very explicitly said to my partner, no, I will watch this solo.
Yeah.
Because I know what it is.
Yeah, I had to do the same. I got so bored watching this movie within 3 minutes that I was reading about the Underworld franchise.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
We thank you.
Oh, can't believe Adam's never going on this show.
What a way to go out.
You don't need to do that. That's extreme cutting me out of your life. There's only one Steven Seagal horror movie anyway. What am I going to do? I've fucking blown my wad now.
I fucking hope he makes another one.
All right. How would the four of us done in this situation? I don't even know where to begin for this one. Like, are we in the hospital? Are we part of Seagal's crew? What do we think?
Oh, my God.
Now, we're in the hospital trying to get out. And can I just say, guys, we get out and we're fine.
Yeah.
We just go back the way we fucking came.
We get out within 5 minutes.
We're like, we need to get out. Oh, there's a window.
Yeah.
Hop in a car, drive away. Oh, we hit something. What was it? Oh, we ran over Seagal. Oh, well, we keep going.
Another thing that, like, in this movie, another line that was repeated a lot, like, was one of them would say, what is that? Why are you even fucking asking that question? Assume it's a vampire and move on. Like,
yeah.
They, like, stopped to be like, oh, shit, what could that have been?
Yeah.
you're in a fucking vampire hospital, dude. Keep going. Jog on.
There's a line where one of the characters is like, oh, when whatever it was that got him. It's like, what do you mean whatever it was? You know what it was.
Also, there's a bit later on where like that one girl, what's her name? The one that works there who knows their way around.
Amelia.
Tom. She's been chased, right? And she's running away. At this point in the movie, though, she's previously seen Seagal and his crew dispatch these vampires, right?
Yeah.
So she's running away from one and screaming. She's terrified. Everybody run, run, run. It's one guy. They just knock him off in seconds. Yeah. Why? Like, everyone in this is a coward. There's that bit where the guy who Seagal gives the gun to, he sees a light at the end of the hallway. It's like, oh, maybe that's the way out. I'll go check. The others wait there. And then as soon as they hear a commotion, rather than we've got to help our friend, they just run.
Yeah.
They run immediately.
It's every time. Yeah. They'll split up and run away for the fucking dumbest reasons.
Yeah.
What about this is the quickest the Scaredy Boys have ever succeeded, because we just would be like, cool, we'll hide and then we'll leave. It's fine. Yeah. The only thing we might be in trouble with is being napalm. Because we don't know that's coming, right? But we're probably out by first light, and we're probably out quicker because we just come out the way that we came into this hospital. Anyway, the bit that I just absolutely love is there's that bit where after they fought some zombie vampires, where old mate decides to go and wash his hands. And he's like, there's that close-up on his hands, and he's like, oh, their blood is on my hands. No, there's not. What are you fucking... What?
Is that when he meets deranged doctor?
Yeah.
And he's like, are you infected? No. Are you infected? Why do you have to ask?
but even when like they then follow him into that bathroom and they realize he's been taken into that, that's where he's gone. They then just walk back out. Like, isn't he your friend?
Yeah. It's every man for himself in this world.
Yeah. So, all right, let me ask you this. So, like, let's say the four of us stick together / go back the way we came. Do we even see Teo?
No, we probably do.
No.
He's probably just, we see him walking towards the hospital like, who the fuck's that dickhead?
Who's that?
Because he's been walking for 2 hours of this fucking movie.
We hear a guitar riff and we're like, what the fuck is that?
I think even with the napalm, we might be fine, because I feel like we'd hear maybe a fighter jet in the distance and we'd have quite a lot of time to get outside of the hospital and no further. We only need to be outside the hospital when it happens.
You just have to get beyond Sector 7.
Can we also, just on the explosion at the end, talk about how long that explosion goes for? And it's also, like, it is very clearly some of those explosions are stock footage from different movies.
Yeah.
100%. Where was our establishing shot of the hospital then? That's my question.
I also love after the explosion, Keith David shakes a couple of hands and goes, let's go home. And then no one else, he leaves and everyone's like, no, we have to keep working, man. Like, this is our job.
Well, even the subplot of Keith David and that other army guy, and they're like at odds, which who even threw that in at the last minute?
No. Here's the best. Here's my favorite part about Keith David and that other army guy is that so they're working with the hunters, right? And before Keith David has shown up, and we learn that the army's plan is to napalm the hospital, he says to the hunters, "You've got to get out by sunup." The hunters, who have one radio between four of them, but that's fine, tells them they've got to get out of there before sunup. And then Keith David arrives and says, well, they've got to get out before sunup. But it's like, hang on a minute. Did you film those two sequences back to front?
Yeah. Like, Keith David shows up and he doesn't even know who the hunters are.
Right.
He's surprised by it. But then he's so emotionally invested in making sure they survive. It's like, who cares? Is it important to blow up the hospital? Blow up the hospital.
Right.
It feels like he flips as well. Like, if you rewatch it, you'll see Keith David in the first scene, he doesn't give a shit. He's like, they got to get out by sunup or we're bombing them. Mm. And then from then onwards, every other scene, he's like, oh, gosh, I hope they get out. Or
it's like they wanted to give him an arc of like the hard soldier who turns in the end and, you know, finds his humanity, but they didn't actually invest any time in having him on screen.
No.
It's Keith David. Apparently he was too busy filming 15 other things. It's just fucked.
Can I point something out for you that will be very funny? Should you ever watch a Steven Seagal movie again, you will notice in this movie, he does not get hurt once.
Right.
He doesn't even... not a scratch, not a single punch has landed on him. That is every Steven Seagal movie.
Hey, it's true. I love everyone. That. He paved the way for Vin Diesel.
Oh. Yeah. If you think Vin Diesel doesn't know how to lose a fight, let me tell you. Imagine if they're in a movie together.
Oh my God.
Vin Diesel, occasionally his characters will be challenged. That's true. The difference. True. Steven Seagal doesn't even have that. Steven Seagal doesn't break a sweat in his movies.
Yeah. F9 should have had Seagal as Toretto's brother instead of John Cena. Yeah.
Wasn't it in the... they were going to get Seagal for the...
Expendables.
Yeah, the Expendables. But they couldn't because he insisted on being the main character.
Yeah, there were three things. Stallone asked him if he'd be in it to play a villain, one of the villains of like two or three. And he turned it down because Seagal doesn't play villains. He had to be the main character and he couldn't lose a fight.
Oh, fucking hell.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you couldn't have him as the villain because then the bad guys win the movie. Yeah.
Shit. He doesn't even realize he's the villain in real life.
Imagine having the largest ego of every character, every actor in the Expendables.
Shit. I think that's all the scary talk we have for this episode. I don't know what else to say about this.
It is dog shit.
The one thing that makes me happy is that no one will ever watch this. It was like impossible to find.
You can buy it on iTunes and on YouTube. And hey, Adam, where else can you find it? Is it also just on YouTube?
Yeah, if you search Against the Dark on YouTube, it may not be true at time of release, but when I was looking for it, you can purchase it on YouTube, but the result that you get above the purchasing option is someone has uploaded the entire movie to YouTube and YouTube recommends you watch it for free before you pay for it.
Even YouTube is like, please don't give us money for this.
If it is at all possible, follow that link. Get some friends together and have some drinks and watch this.
Highly recommend.
Play drinking game. You need to drink anytime Steven Seagal uses his sword but doesn't move. You need to drink anytime he sends Taggart to do a sweep. And you need to drink whenever there's an establishing shot of a hospital. You'll be dead in 20 minutes.
Here's what I want for the four of us. Adam, choose your favorite three Seagal movies. And when we can, we watch them together. We get the experience.
Fucking crazy?
I'm going because
Under Siege 1 is a good movie.
All Under Siege 1, I unabashedly think, is actually a decent movie. I think you will be like, who's the crazy one?
Gary Busey.
Yeah, Gary Busey is incredible in that movie. He is so good in it.
Okay.
But not as good as Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones is in it?
Yeah.
He wears a leather jacket.
Sign me up.
A rare, strange Tommy Lee Jones. He is not a serious character in that movie.
That is wild.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in.
If we've got only three, I might have to cut out Under Siege 2, despite the fact that I love Under Siege 2 so much. The villain of Under Siege 2 objectively wants to fuck Steven Seagal, and that is funny.
That's relatable.
It's good, yeah.
The best thing of number two is he sang all the songs in it too.
Oh, I forgot.
There are songs?
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
The movie ends with like a song about the troops and it's sung by Steven Seagal.
That's great. Hell. That's really good.
Wow. Well, I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tao.
You wish.
I've been Target.
Adam, this is where the part where I'd say thank you for this, for showing us this movie and coming on. I don't know if I want to say.
You're welcome.
Okay, great. If you scary listeners would like to get in contact with us, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter at scaredyboys or individually. I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at Retro Archetype.
And remember, everyone, we're not here to decide who's right or wrong. We're here to decide who lives or dies.
That must have hurt to say.
Oh my God, I feel so bad.
And that's Steven Seagal energy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.